Now tonight in our Bibles we're turning together please to the Gospel of Mark, and we're turning to the 5th chapter of Mark's Gospel, and we're going to take up our reading from verse number 25. So it's Mark chapter 5, and we're reading together this evening from the 25th verse of the chapter. Mark 5:25. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind, and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. We'll end our reading at verse number 34. And we do pray earnestly that God will bless this public reading of his own infallible and inspired eternal truth. Now, you know, it's a wonderful thing to consider the Word of God and to go through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and to consider individuals whom the Lord Jesus Christ touched physically. You know, I'm glad tonight that whenever we come to a service like this, we are presenting a living Savior, one who is able to touch lives, one who is able to turn lives right around, and one who is able to change lives, and also to change the eternal destinies of sinners who otherwise would be bound for God's hell and would be lost forever. Whenever I come to the Word of God, I see time and time again men and women that were at their wits' end. Men and women that were lost, men and women that were broken, men and women that had nothing to offer God and nothing to live for in life, but yet the Lord came in mercy and the Lord touched certain individuals. I read in Matthew chapter 8, verse number 3, about a leper that the Lord touched, and that leper was cleansed forever, and his life was set out on a new course, and he met the Lord Jesus, and he experienced the Master's touch. I read in the same chapter about Peter's mother-in-law, who lay at home and she was sick of a fever. And her family were gathered round about the bed, and they were concerned about her, knowing that this lady was standing on the brink of eternity. And then the Lord came, and the Lord touched her, and the Lord healed her. And that woman knew what it was to receive a new lease of life. Going into the 9th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, we read about two blind men. And the Lord came, and the Bible says that whenever the Lord saw them, he touched their eyes. And he opened their eyes, and from that day forward, they were able to see. Mark chapter 7 gives the account of a man who was deaf and dumb. And the Lord came, and the Lord touched those individuals, and the Lord gave them lips to speak and gave them ears to hear. And so the Lord touched these different people and the Lord changed them. And I'm glad tonight that the same Lord that is able to open the eyes of the blind and open the ears of the deaf and take away the defilement of leprosy and take a woman who is on the brink of eternity and turn them right around has not changed. And I'm glad tonight that whoever you are, or whatever your need would be, or whatever your background is, the Lord tonight is able to touch you. And I'm glad tonight I can say with the hymn writer, He touched me. Oh, He touched me. There's no doubt about that. And oh, what joy that floods my soul. Something happened and now I know He touched me. And He made me whole. Now, we have read tonight the account of a woman. The Bible doesn't tell us what her name is. But the Bible tells us that this lady had a great need. And such was that need that this lady had in her heart that her need and the consciousness of her need drove her to Christ. And she was a lady that touched the Lord. You see, in Scripture we read about people who the Lord touched, but we also read about individuals that touched the Lord. And this lady, I don't know how strong or how weak her faith was. It may be that her faith was very strong, and she said within herself, the Lord is so mighty and so able to save, that if I even touch but the hem of His garment, that'll be enough, and the Lord will heal me. Or maybe her faith was very weak, and as she came on her hands and knees, she just felt that all the faith that she could muster was just able to reach out and not touch His face or touch His body or touch anything else. But the faith that she had was so weak that all it could do was touch the hem of His garment. I don't know how strong or how weak this individual's faith was. But I know that by faith she was healed. And by faith her life was turned around forever. And we'll speak a little bit more later on about this lady's faith. But I just want to leave with you tonight the wonderful account of the woman with the issue of blood. A woman who touched the Lord and who was never the same again. I want you to notice first of all that this lady, she endured a malignant disease. The Bible says that for 12 years, this lady had an issue of blood. Now, the Bible does not elaborate on what that issue of blood was, but in all probability, this issue of blood was a hemorrhage in this lady's womb that never dried up and just bled continually. And we might say tonight that literally, this lady was bleeding to death. Slowly over a period of 12 years, this woman's condition has waxed worse and worse, and you know that her condition just pictures and typifies the sin nature. And an individual without Christ, you know, this disease caused pain and it caused suffering. And you know, as you look out into the world tonight, I'll tell you, this world in which we live is no stranger to pain. It's no stranger to suffering. As you read the newspapers and listen to the news on the radio or the internet or the television, it just seems to be story after story and tale after tale of broken hearts and broken homes and broken hopes and broken lives. You see, sin causes pain and sin causes suffering. You know, I don't believe for one moment that God ever put Adam in the garden and God ever put man on this earth and it was God's plan and God's initiative and God's prerogative that man would suffer. Suffering is the direct result of sin entering into the world all those years ago in the Garden of Eden. And the reality is, men and women tonight, that sin affects every single one of us. While we can point to individuals that we might deem to be a lot worse than we are, all of us instinctively, spiritually, are just like this lady that had an issue of blood. You see, going back to the book of Leviticus, the law of God says in Leviticus chapter 15, verse 25, and if a woman have an issue of blood many days out of the time of her separation, or if it run beyond the time of her separation, all the days of the issue of her uncleanness shall be as the days of her separation. She shall be unclean. And so a person that had this condition, a lady that had this condition, if the fountain of her blood never dried up from that day forward, she would be pronounced unclean and she would be separated from society, no longer welcome in the synagogue, no longer welcome in the temple, because she has been pronounced unclean. And for 12 years, this lady has known what it is to go it alone. Her condition has brought loneliness, uncleanness, and separation into your life. And isn't that just the heart of every single person in this meeting that is still not saved? You're cut off from God. The Bible says you are unclean. We are all as an unclean thing, and even our good works, even our righteousnesses, if we could call them that, in the sight of God are as filthy rags. And there's an emptiness and there's a loneliness in our heart. And men and women, this lady tonight, she knew all about it. And I want to tell you tonight that this malignant disease that this lady endured, it was incurable as far as the world was concerned. Man could not help her. The Word of God says there in verse number 26 that this lady had suffered many things of many physicians. And she just grew worse. Man couldn't help her. Every single doctor that she went to, they charged her a small fortune. And they literally milked her for all that she was worth. And they took her money off her. But they couldn't give her the answers. There was no welfare state in those days. She had to pay for every bit of advice that she received from these doctors. And you know, I just wonder, did she perhaps go to doctor legality? And maybe tonight you're not saved and you're going to that same physician and she went to a certain doctor and he was just full of legalism. And he says, well, if you do this and if you do that and if you adhere to these rules that I'm going to give you and if you enroll in this and do that and hold to this strict diet and hold to this rigorous exercise plan and just do this and don't do that and give her a list of do's and don'ts, that maybe she would get better. And she didn't. But the Bible says rather she grew worse. Some people tonight go to doctor legality and they try and earn their way to heaven. But they just get worse and they're nothing better. Spiritually they're no better off. Other people go to doctor procrastination. And they come along and, well, he just says, well, you know, come back some other time. You've dealt with this for 12 years and a few more days isn't gonna cause any difference. And why don't you concentrate upon the more important issues in life and come back in a later date? But she was nothing bettered. Perhaps she went to Dr. Apathy. And he says, well, don't worry about it. You know, your condition isn't all that serious. If this condition was going to bring you down to the grave, it would have done so long ago. And really, there's nothing to worry about. Go on holiday. Carry on with your business. Concentrate on the things that really matter. Don't worry about your condition. And my, how many there are tonight that will give that same message, even from pulpits. People under conviction for sin. People plagued with doubts and fears. People filled with guilt. And yet we're told, don't worry about it. There's nothing to worry about. Concentrate on the big things in life. Maybe Dr. Philosophy got hold of her. And he says, well, you know, your condition, it's literally just an issue of mind over matter. You just have to adopt the I can mentality and you will overcome all your problems. Maybe it was Dr. Education. And he says to her, well, you know, science is making advances all the time and a cure for your condition is imminent. But each doctor that she went to, the Bible says that rather her condition was worse and she was no better. I wonder what doctor you're listening to this evening. Maybe the doctor of legality. Maybe the doctor of procrastination. Maybe the doctor of apathy or philosophy or education. I wonder which man you're listening to tonight. You know, man could not help her. Man can help none of us tonight as it comes to our relationship with God. Medication couldn't help her either because it says she suffered many things of many physicians. Each doctor she met put her upon a new course of tablets. And she had this idea for 12 years that the remedy for her condition could be found at the bottom of a bottle of pills or medicine, but rather she grew worse. You know, it's so sad today that there are multitudes in this land of ours. And every morning they get up, the best friend that they have in all the world is some prescription drug like Prozac. Or maybe it's alcohol or some other kind of antidepressants. You know, you can get them just like candy from a baby. People go to the doctors all the time and say how they're feeling. And maybe the problem is guilt, loneliness. And they're given medication and they're nothing bettered, but rather they grew worse. Methods couldn't help her. Medication couldn't help her. Men couldn't help her. And her money was no use to her either, because after she had spent every single penny that she had, we're still told that she was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. Well did the Lord say that it is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. This lady's disease, humanly speaking, was incurable. It was also increasing. Scripture says that she grew worse. Every day as she got up, my the depression filled her heart and she realized that she was not getting better. And if something wasn't done, she was going to bleed to death and her illness was increasing. The Bible says that in the last days, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. The Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 24, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Scripture says that in the last days, perilous times shall come. And we look at society with all of its so-called answers, with all of its schemes and plans and laws and legalism and legalities and all the different things. It just seems that people aren't any better off whenever the Bible is shut. If the foundations be destroyed tonight, what can the righteous do? And maybe for years you've been going on in your sins, and I don't need Jesus Christ. I don't need salvation. And tonight, if you're honest, you're nothing bettered, but rather, you're growing worse. This lady's disease was increasing. It was intolerable. She was racked with pain, suffering, sorrow, and weary. But then there was a time came, and the Bible says in verse 27, when she heard of Jesus. Here's a woman that's shut out from society. Here's a woman that is shut out from the religious crowd as well. And yet there was somebody somewhere that loved her enough and cared for her enough to go and tell her about a man from Nazareth whose name was Jesus. And the name Jesus means he shall save his people from their sins. It means Savior. And the Bible says when she heard of Jesus, she heard about a greater physician. She heard about a physician that was performing miracles. Someone loved her enough to tell her, you know, people tonight need to hear. Let us never fall into the trap of thinking that people will just get converted without ever hearing. People in cool rain tonight need to hear. People need to hear the gospel. The Bible asks the question, it says, how shall they believe in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear tonight without a preacher? And you know, somebody loved this lady enough to tell her. Somebody loved her enough to go against the current and say, there's a lady that's unclean. There's a lady that the world doesn't care about. There's a lady that the religious people don't care about either. But I'm going to tell her that there's one that can heal her. And there's one that can save her. And there's one that can deliver. Now I want to tell you tonight that there's one that can save you. And there's one that can deliver you. You know, it says, when she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. When she heard, that indicates to me that this was the first time that this lady had ever heard about the Lord. The first time she ever heard, she purposed in her heart that she was going to find the Lord Jesus Christ. When she heard, 12 years she'd lived with this condition, and then somebody came and told her, and the first time she ever heard, there was a response in her heart. You know, whenever I lived in Australia, we were in an island off the coast of Adelaide called Kangaroo Island. And a couple of friends had come over from Lisburn and we were just taking a few days to visit this island. And I remember one night we were at a campsite. And I was then washing my hands. We'd been out fishing and we're washing our hands in the sink. And I heard somebody in one of the cubicles and the door opened. And this man came out and began washing his hands beside me. And I looked up at him. He was bigger than I was. Long hair, right down to the base of his spine. Smoking, covered in tattoos, just rough around the edges. And we got speaking about different things. And he says, "Where are you from?" And he says, "Well, I'm from Northern Ireland." And he says, "What are you doing here?" And I explained the situation. He says, "I'm working with a church in Port Lincoln." And he says, "You know, I heard your accent." And he says, "I thought that you were a priest." And I looked at him and I smiled. And I says, "Well, it's not really like that. It's an evangelical church. It's a Protestant church, Christian church," and tried to explain a little bit of the gospel. And he laughed at me and he says, "You know, it's all the same to me." I says, "I've no care for those sorts of things." Later on in the day, he came to the cabin in which we were staying, and I was getting something to eat, and the knock came to the door, and I opened the door, and here's this big man standing. And he had a book in his hand, and he handed me this book, and I took it off him, and I looked at the front of it, and it said in the front of the book, "Irish Myths and Legends," and there was a picture in the front of St. Patrick driving the snakes out of Ireland. He says, "This is all about your country." He says, "Read it, you'll really enjoy it." And I looked, I didn't want to offend him, and I took the book off him and says, "I'll maybe get a look at it." And then we were in the town that day, and I remember going into a second-hand bookstore and came across a Christian book, a little book by Andrew Murray about Psalm 51, just the way of salvation. I remember lifting that book and saying, "I'm going to give this book to this fella. His name was Martin." I didn't know his name at the time, but the next day, whenever we were leaving the campsite, I seen this fellow sitting in his little van with the fishing rods, and he was smoking away, and I came back and called him, and he stopped the van. He says, "I've got your book for you." And he took it off me, and I says, "I've got another book for you, and I'd love you to read it." And he looked at it, and he saw what it was about, and I'll never forget the look in his face. He looked at me, and he smiled, and he threw the book over his shoulder, and he just laughed, basically. And he said, "All the best," and he went on his way. But inside that book, I'd written my address, and I'd put a little gospel tract in it. About 6 months later, there was a letter came to the manse in Port Lincoln. It just said, "Roger," and there's a question mark, and I opened it up, and I began to read. And it said at the very start of the letter, "I'm looking for a young priest from Ireland who visited Kangaroo Island a number of months ago." He says, "I want to tell that young fellow that he gave me a book. And it was the best book that I've ever received in my life because I read that book and I found Christ." The first time he'd ever heard the gospel, totally green behind the ears, the first time he ever read anything of salvation, I'll tell you, he responded. And here's a lady that for 12 years has been suffering with this affliction, and the first time she hears the name Jesus, she makes a response. I wonder how many years you've been sitting in this church. I wonder how many years you've heard the way of salvation and tonight you're still not saved. You see, this lady endured a malignant disease, but as soon as she heard about Jesus Christ, she evidenced a marked desire. Verse 20 says, "When she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind." Here's a lady that makes a startling realization. Here's a lady that says in verse 28, she says, "If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." She makes this realization, and that seed that was planted in her heart whenever somebody spoke to her about the Lord Jesus Christ, that seed has germinated. And the Holy Ghost is working in her life now. And she's got this realization that here is a man that can perhaps meet me at the point of my need. She realized, I do not have to die while Jesus Christ lives. And let me tell you tonight that you do not have to die in your sins while Jesus Christ is alive forevermore and he's alive to save. The book of Ezekiel asks the question. In Ezekiel chapter 33 verse 11, God says, "As I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure," and that word means satisfaction. "I am not satisfied with the death of the wicked, but I would rather that the wicked would turn from his way and live. Turn ye, for why will ye die, O house of Israel?" Let me ask you a question tonight, you that are not saved. Why are you not saved? Why will you not come to Christ? Why will you not repent of your sin? Why will you not take Christ as Savior and Lord and Master? Why will you die and go to God's hell? Why will you not come to Christ and taste and see that the Lord is good? What is it that is so satisfying about sin that you will not trust Christ? You know, if sin and this world could really satisfy you, I don't believe you would be in God's house tonight. I don't believe you would be here in this meeting tonight if you could find what you want in the world. But you're here tonight because there's a longing in your heart and because you're in your sin. Why will you die? This woman had knowledge. She had heard, she had understood, but that did not save her. She needed to meet Christ face to face. She needed the experience. And so she came in the press and she makes this resolve. You know, it's an amazing thing that she was not welcome in the synagogue. But there was something in her heart that the Spirit of God was telling her, you'll be welcome at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll be welcome at the feet of the Master. Isn't it a tragedy that here's a woman that has been separated from society, not welcome amongst the religious crowd, but she's welcome at the Master's feet? I'm glad tonight that the Lord Jesus is interested. I'm glad tonight that God is interested in sinners. And here's a woman that's driven to the feet of the Master by a sense of her need. This has become the most important thing in her life, just to get to the feet of the Savior. It's a priority. Everything else can fall by the wayside. You see, this has become a priority. It's the most urgent thing in life, and so should the salvation of your soul be. Most important thing in your life should be getting right with God. I love the simplicity of it. She knows that if she but touches the hem of his garment, she'll be clean. And so she evidences this marked desire. But you know, there was no easy believism here. Because this woman also experienced and encountered many difficulties. It wasn't just a matter of putting her hand up and saying, I'll come and that's it. This lady would encounter many difficulties as she sought to come to the Lord. The first one was the press. Whenever she came after the Lord, the Bible says that the place was packed. There was a great press and she had to come behind. And the word of God says there in verse 31 that the crowd was so great that it thronged the Savior. And I'll tell you, the crowd and the press that day, it would have been a great hindrance to her. And maybe tonight you're not saved because of the crowd. Maybe tonight you're worried about what people will think. What will people think if I get on my hands and knees and seek to come in contact with the Savior? What will people think of me? I'll tell you, people might laugh. Maybe if she looked at the crowd, the Bible says that the crowd thronged the Lord. You know why the crowd were following the Lord this day? Because they wanted to see him raise Jairus' daughter from the dead. They wanted just to see his miracles, and they were a bunch of superficial hypocrites. And this woman could have looked and said, look at that crowd that is following Jesus. Sure, they're all a bunch of hypocrites. They don't have any sort of need. They're just there for the experience. Bandwagon Christians. And I'll tell you, there's multitudes tonight as well. Maybe you're one of them. And the reason you'll not come to Christ tonight is because you look at the crowd that come to church and, as it were, throng the Lord, and you see superficiality. And you see things in the lives of professing Christians that aren't right. And that's the thing tonight that's holding you back. But you're the one that needs to get saved. And they need to get right with God too. But let me ask you, Jesus Christ was no hypocrite. Why won't you come to him? Maybe it's the press. Maybe, like this lady, the past is a big stumbling block for you as well. She could think back over 12 years of pain, suffering, discouragement, disappointment, multitudes of physicians that had took her money and done absolutely nothing for her. Was this just going to be another wild goose chase? Would the Lord let her down as well? Was Jesus Christ just another one? Maybe tonight you're saying, how can I possibly come to the Lord with a past like mine? I'll be disappointed. I'll fall and maybe I'll even fail. Or maybe you'll say, I've tried physicians before. I've maybe even tried Christianity before. Preacher, I tried to be a Christian. It didn't work for me. But the reality is that you never came in close contact with the Lord. You never touched him. And you never fell on your knees before him and cried unto him for mercy. Maybe it was her poverty that was the big problem. The big barrier. This lady had nothing left. Nothing to bring in her hands. Just like every single sinner that's going to get saved. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. Maybe it was her pain. Here's a lady that's suffering. She's worse now than she ever was before. And everything in her body is telling her, don't put yourself to so much effort to get to the Lord. It'll only make you worse. You'll only tire yourself out. And there's this battle going on within her. With the flesh. And maybe tonight it's the flesh that's keeping you back as well. And there's this battle going on within you. And you're wrestling. And the Spirit of God maybe is speaking to you, and your mind's under conviction. And yet there's a battle. You know, I believe tonight that the fact that there is a battle shows us how real God's salvation is. You see, if it was just a matter of coming so easily with no thought of anything else and just a matter of saying a prayer or some other thing, the devil wouldn't want to hinder you. But the fact that the devil wants you and he's filling your mind with doubts and fears shows to me tonight that this is real. We've noticed tonight something of this lady, how she endured a malignant disease. She evidenced a marked desire. She encountered many difficulties, but praise the Lord, she experienced a miraculous deliverance. 27 says, when she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. Verse 29 says, and straightway, the fountain of her blood was dried up. Here's a woman that is unclean. And just like the leper, she was pronounced unclean. And I dare say there's hardly a person in the world that would have allowed this woman to lay a finger upon them, lest they should contract something from her. But here's the Lord. And this unclean person comes in contact with him, but he wasn't defiled by her. And that shows to me tonight the impeccability and the sinlessness of our Savior. He came into this world and he mingled with sinners, but he was never marred or defiled in any way by their sin. And as soon as she touches the hem of his garment, she's clean. You see, her deliverance was by faith. You'll notice there in verse number 28 that she says, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be clean. She does not say, as it is often quoted, if I may but touch his clothes. But she says, if I may touch but his clothes. You see, it's not her touch that is going to save her. It's what she touches. It's not the action of her faith that is going to save her, but it's the object of her faith. It's not the measure of her faith that's going to save, but it's what that faith rests in. You know, you look at the Bible and you see people and they came to the Lord and they embraced him. Some people fell at his feet. Some people kissed him. Some people embraced him. Some people touched him. Some people laid hold upon him. One lady even washed his feet with her tears. But here's a lady and all she does is come on her hands and knees, I believe, afraid and trembling, and she touches the hem of his garment. This garment was a large square piece of cloth that was draped over the shoulder and that distinguished the Jewish nation. You can read about it in Numbers chapter 15 and Deuteronomy 22 about this garment, this cloak, that distinguished the Jewish nation from every other nation, and it speaks about the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And this lady came and she touched the hem of his garment. It was not the strength of her touch, but it was what she touched. You think about Noah's Ark. You think about all the different animals that came to the Ark. Some of the animals came running. Some came walking. Some came crawling. Some came slithering through the grass. Some came swinging through the trees. Some came from the jungle, some came from the desert, some came from the swamp. But it wasn't how they came, and it wasn't where they came from, but it was what they came to that saved them. And so it is with God's salvation. You know, for years I used to struggle with assurance. And as a young Christian, I used to look back, and I used to think, you know, whenever I came to the Lord, I understood so little. And I prayed a prayer and it was so far from perfect. And my repentance was so, so imperfect. And every single thing I did wasn't right. And I would look back and say, I wonder did I really mean it? I wonder was I really sincere? And I wonder am I really saved? And then I began to receive sound teaching. And I began to realize that it wasn't my repentance that saved me. It wasn't my faith that saved me. It was not my praying or my decision that saved me. It was Christ. And I embraced Christ with the hands of faith, weak though they were. It was what I laid hold upon that saved me. You see, faith. Faith comes with an empty hand. Faith admits its need. Faith looks out of itself. Faith rests in Christ. Faith receives all that Christ can give. And faith gives absolutely nothing. And the wonderful thing about it is that whenever this lady came and she touched the hem of his garment, the Lord turned around and he says, "Who touched me?" Multitudes were thronging him and touching him superficially. But in his heart, the Lord knew, somebody has touched me. And the Lord felt her touch. The Bible says tonight that Jesus Christ is touched by the feelings of our infirmities. You know, tonight if you come with what faith God can give you, and with that faith you touch the Lord, I'll tell you, the Lord will feel your touch. And virtue went out of the Lord. And that just means power went out of the Lord. And immediately she was healed. You see, it was the power that the Lord imparted to her that healed her. Power went out of him. You know, he felt it going out of him because he was human. And he was also divine. And as this supernatural power went out of him, the Lord in his humanity felt it. And I believe in the cross. As Jesus Christ hung there, virtue and power went out of him and he felt it in his body. But it's through that we can be healed. We can be clean. This lady, her deliverance was by faith. Her deliverance was full. It was complete. Her deliverance was free. The Lord didn't charge her anything for it. And her deliverance was final. He didn't say, "We'll come back on a later date for the rest of the treatment." He didn't say, "Well, you know, that's part of it. And now you need to receive the rest." As soon as she was healed, the Lord turned round and he looked at her. And with fear and trembling, she looked back at the Lord. And that Lord's look, it was worth 1,000 words. It spoke of love. It spoke of mercy. It spoke of grace. And she came and she fell. And in front of that multitude, she confessed with her mouth the Lord Jesus. And that day, she lost something that she never wanted to find again. And she found something that she never wanted to lose. And at that moment in time, a transaction was done. And she was delivered. Not only in her body, but most importantly in her soul. You know, tonight we were singing in our opening hymn, "'Tis done. The great transaction's done. I am my Lord's and he is mine. He drew me and I followed on, charmed to confess the voice divine." What was it that brought this lady to Christ? It was the drawing power of the Holy Ghost. And maybe tonight the Lord is speaking to your heart. And maybe tonight you know your need. And maybe tonight there's 1,001 things standing before you and the Lord. But listen, you need to come. Because you're lost. And just like this lady in Scripture, you've got an issue of blood. Man, methods, machinery, and medicine can do nothing for you. It's the Lord you need. And the Lord tonight bids you and invites you to come. And I wonder, will you come and touch the Lord? And make contact with him.